Welcome to the Word for Everyday Disciples with Dave DeSohn, a weekly podcast that brings biblical teaching to everyday people in ways we can understand and put into practice. I'm your host, Gwen DeSohn, and I am so glad to have you along with me today. Our teacher is Dave DeSohn. Dave spent over 40 years in pastoral ministry and was the founding senior pastor of a church called Fellowship in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Currently, he is the executive director of Dave DeSohn Ministries, offering help and hope to everyday pastors through coaching and other resources. You can find out more about us at davedeselmministries.org. Well, friends, we've finally reached the end of our series on the book of Revelation. I don't know about you, but these 16 episodes have stretched and challenged me. But they've also given me hope and confidence, knowing I can face whatever the future holds, because the one who holds the future is the one who loves us so. Here's Dave with last words.
Revelation 22. You'll quickly see that we've come to the very end of the book of Revelation. We did it. We got through Revelation together. We got through the seven churches and the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven bowls. We got through the arising of the Antichrist and the return of Jesus Christ. We got through a vision of the glory of the throne and a picture of the lake of fire. We got through the rapture, the great tribulation, Armageddon, millennium, the new heaven, the new earth. We've done it. This has probably been the most difficult study for me in my ministry, headwise, okay? Putting this together. I've had other ones that tugged at my heart, but this one here, for headwise, this was demanding. Many times, I've got to be real honest with you, I would be sitting down and I'd look at something like the millennium, or I'd look at something like the rapture, and I'd think, why in the world did I ever start this series? I really did. But we got through it. Hopefully, you've learned some things. Believe me, my life will never be the same for having spent these weeks here in the book of Revelation. And now we come to the end. So let's read it, okay? If you'd follow along, beginning in verse 7 of chapter 22, this brief epilogue. Behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I'd heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Then he told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. Let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into that city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away words from the book of this prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which is described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. And thus we have the conclusion of this great book. But it's obvious as well, this also concludes the greater book. This is the end of the Bible. You ever thought about it that way? You've just read the last section of the whole Bible. Think about it. 66 books penned by 40 different authors over 1,500 years. And this is the last word. The last word. God's last words for us. Think about it. God could have ended any other way. These are His last words to us. I kind of play this something with myself, and you could as well. What if you knew you had one last chance to give your last words to those you loved? Yeah. You knew you were going to be gone, pass away, and you could say to your kids or your mate or your family or your friends, you could give them one last message. What would you tell your kids? What would you tell your friends? What would you tell your seeking friends? This is the last message you can give. It's an interesting thought. And I thought about, what would I say to my kids if I knew I was going away for good? Well, this is what God has done for us, last words. Now, anytime, therefore, that you see last words, it's very interesting. I've got this one book in my library. It's quite remarkable, Last Words of Saints and Sinners. It's a remarkable read of people, some who knew they were dying, and these were their literal last words. Others who didn't know they were dying, but their last words are in here as well. For example, D.L. Moody, who many of you have heard of, he knew the moment really that he was dying. And look what he said here. I see earth receding, heaven is opening, God is calling me. And he died. Some of you have heard of Adoniram Judson, famous missionary statesman. Look at this one. I go with the gladness of a boy bounding away from school. And he died. He's so happy. There were others who faced this moment with utter horror. They knew they were dying. One of the most terrible persecutors of Christians was an emperor ruler, Roman emperor that is, named Julian. Look what he said. He knew he was dying. Look what he said. Thou hast conquered, O Galilean. And he died. Some of you heard of playwright Oscar Wilde? Look at his last words. I am dying as I have lived, beyond my means. Now, what's interesting is some did not realize they were dying. For example, Lord Palmerston, British royalty, if you will, his doctor told him of the severity of his situation. He said, die, my dear doctor, that's the last thing I shall do. He was right. He died right then. You've heard of the actor Douglas Fairbanks? Here were his last words. Never felt better. Boom, down he goes. Perhaps my favorite last words in the Civil War, Union General John Sedgwick, when told by his troops that he was too near the Confederate ranks and was chiding all those around him for hiding and taking cover, look what John Sedgwick said. They couldn't hit an elephant from this distance. last words, all right? So if, in fact, these are the last words of God to us, we should really pay attention to them. He could have said anything at all, but here's what he said. And so I asked myself as I studied this, when it's all said and done, what does the Father want to say to us? And then I thought about myself as your pastor. As we end this series, what do I want to say to you as an echo to God's words? Here's what I think God would have us learn from Revelation, and here's what my hope is that you take away from Revelation, okay? Here's the first one. I hope that we will have a greater commitment to the local church. I'd never seen it before I studied this book. Revelation begins in the first part to the seven churches. This book was written to local assemblies. And look how it ends here. Look at chapter 22 and verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony. Underline that phrase if you want to in your Bibles. For the churches. For the churches. This was written for real people in literal churches at a point in time. God's dream was that they would extend His kingdom, that they would bring lost people to know Him, that they would glorify Him in everything they said and done. But listen now, that they would do it in community. His dream was for local churches just like this to flesh out the book of Revelation and to embrace His promises. And this is so important. And I'm going to get in my soapbox, so fasten your seatbelts here. I'm hearing more and more this sense of Jesus and me. Well, I love Jesus, I'm just not into the church. You ever heard this stuff? I'm a Christian, sure, I'm not a part of any church. And in so doing, these people declare their independence from any sense of structure or any sense of accountability. Sometimes they even tout themselves as being even more spiritual because they're not bogged down by the slowness of movement, which have so many people, by the immaturity of some or the impetuosity of others. Friends, you just got to know something here. I look at this book of Revelation. This is for local churches. Jesus bled and died for the church, and it's made up of local assemblies. Chuck Colson, in his bestseller, The Body, writes about this mindset that you really don't need the local church. Look what he said by way of the screens. There is today a widespread belief that one can be a Christian or develop one's own faith system apart from the church. The proposition is ludicrous. One cannot claim to be a Christian and at the same time be outside the church. To do so is at the least hypocrisy and at the worst blasphemy. He continues, if the purpose of the church is to herald and point to the coming kingdom of God, then the Christian must live rooted in community, for the kingdom to which it points is itself the ultimate community. Friends, Jesus loves local churches. Warts and all. And heaven knows we got them. And by the way, wherever you go, you're going to find them. Incidentally, if you ever find a perfect church, hear me now, whatever you do, don't go there. You're going to wreck it, okay? You'll wreck it. Because unless I miss my guess, you are POH. What's POH mean? Plain old human. Just like me. Just like me. Jesus never intended us to live in isolation. Jesus never intended for us to get little holy huddles where we can really move with the movers and bypass all these slow-moving people, all these immature people. Jesus meant for us to be in a group of people of various races and socioeconomic groups. One of the things I'm most excited about, I got to tell you, I look and I see what's happened to FMC with our racial diversity and our socioeconomic diversity. FMC has never been more diverse than it is becoming now. And I, for one, am just going, yeah! Yay, God! This is what the body of Christ was always meant to look like. People across the spectrum racially, across the spectrum economically. People across the spectrum maturation-wise who are going to be a family and grow in God and love one another and worship together and get along with each other and show a jaded, doubtful world. This is the body of Christ. And it's the local church. It's the local church. Don't ever give up on it. And if this is not your local church, okay, and you're visiting today, that's fine. But for heaven's sake, be a part of one. Be a part of one. And give of your time and your talent and your treasure and exhaust yourself in the local church because, friends, the local church is the one and only hope of the world. So enough of this pseudo-spirituality. I don't need the local church. Yes, you do. And so do I. We need each other. So turn to the person next to you and say, you're okay after all. Go ahead. Tell them.
You're listening to The Word for Everyday Disciples with Dave DeSelm. Dave will continue his message in just a moment. If you're enjoying this podcast, please take just a moment to rate, review, and subscribe, and then help others find us by sharing this podcast with your friends and family. And if this podcast has been a blessing for you, consider giving a gift to Dave DeSelm Ministries. You can give online by going to DaveDeSelmMinistries.org and clicking on the donate button. We'd also like to invite you to join us on the DDM journey by signing up to receive our weekly update. Get the latest DDM news and a personal word from Dave sent to your email inbox each Monday morning. You can subscribe to the weekly update on our website, DaveDeSelmMinistries.org. Now, let's return to Dave and the rest of today's teaching.
Number two, I hope that out of Revelation, we will have a greater desire for heartfelt worship. One of the great themes that ambushed me in Revelation, did you notice this as well? How much worship is there? Whole chapters are devoted to worship. John's visions are interrupted by the angels who can't pipe down. They keep worshiping. And the worship of Revelation is as explosive as it is expressive. Chapters 4 and 5 show us the throne room. And like I told you, the throne room of chapters 4 and 5, if you're into real quiet, sedate worship all the time, you're not going to like it there. Because the throne room is really loud. Now, it also gets very quiet. But it is explosive praise as well as quiet reverence. Look in chapter 22 here in verse 9. I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing these things to me. But he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God. There's something else for you to underline. Worship God. Not only is this a warning to not give undue praise to anything else, it is a call, friends, for us to prioritize worship, passionate worship. And there are two things that I noted about worship in the book of Revelation beyond the explosive expressiveness, and that is everyone participated, everybody. And second, they worshiped with all their hearts. If you're going to take something away from Revelation, you need to realize this. We're going to be in heaven having a wonderful time, but we're going to be worshiping, so you may as well practice now. And we're going to be singing and clapping and dancing, and we're going to be bowing and kneeling. It's going to be a wonderful time. I thought, in one way of looking at every Sunday morning is practice. Practice for heaven. But more than that, our time of worship is beginning now what will become our ultimate destiny. Typically, when you leave church, the discussion centers around this. What did I get out of it? May I suggest to you, as I have in the past, that is the wrong question to ask. You should never ask as you leave this place, what did I get out of it? You know what you should ask? How did I do? Because the ultimate purpose for our gathering was for an audience of one. How did I do? Did I worship him? That is a question to ask. Third, I hope out of Revelation we will have a greater devotion to active obedience. Verse 7, behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. The phrase to underline is who keeps. Do you see that? Who keeps the words. Blessed is he who keeps the words. Back in his gospel, John wrote these striking comments here from the lips of Jesus. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. In verse 23, Jesus continues, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Striking words, wouldn't you say? The acid test of your love for Christ is not how high you jump. It's how straight you walk when you come down. The acid test of discipleship is obedience manifested in love. I don't care how spiritual a person claims to be. If they are not obedient Christians who walk in love, they are not disciples who are fully devoted. Love shown by obedience. How many of you have seen The Princess Bride? All right, you know The Princess Bride. Funniest movie. It's a great movie. In the movie, The Princess Bride, you've got Princess Buttercup, right? And Wesley, right? Wesley. Early on, she continues to make demands of him, and every time she asks him to do something, what is Wesley's response? As you wish. As you wish. Whatever she asks of him, he says, as you wish. Until later in the movie, you realize as you wish really means what something else to him. What's as you wish mean? I love you. And I thought, every time God asks me to do something in the Word, My response should be, as you wish. As you wish, Lord. And Jesus interprets that as, I love you. Discipleship that does not show obedience, even in the tough areas, is not discipleship. And the beauty of all of this that those verses showed is that when we obey, Jesus promises to show himself to us, manifest himself to us in wonderful ways. Fourth, I hope we'll have a greater zeal for courageous evangelism. One of the great joys of this study has been the hope of heaven. How wonderful it's going to be. Verse 14, blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to go to the tree of life. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. But notwithstanding that point of joy, this one thing this study has shown us is this. There's still another verse here. Look at verse 15. This talks about those who are on the outside of this. They're called the dogs here who practice magical arts and so forth and so on. But the point is this. As much as we celebrate the hope that is above us, there is another destiny that is for others. Not all are going to eat of the tree of life. Not all are going to sit around the throne and celebrate. Not all are going to rule and reign. Some are going to go to the lake of fire. Did you see that in Revelation? Did you? Revelation should teach us, friends, that there are really two kinds of people in the world. There really are. It gets real simple. There are two kinds of people in this world. And they aren't black and white. They aren't Republican and Democrat. And they aren't IU fans and Purdue fans. You know what they are? Two kinds of people in the world. They are the saved and the unsaved. That's it. Saved and unsaved. Those who are going to go to heaven and those who are going to go to hell. That's it. Which makes life real simple. As you go out of this place to look at people and realize that is a person who is going to live forever somewhere. They are either going to go and eat of the tree of life or go to the lake of fire, but they will go somewhere. Therefore, my relationship with them is big because this could be an ordained appointment by Almighty God whereby He wants me to show some love or to say a word or to manifest some consistency that might move them along toward Christ. You have never laid eyes upon a person who does not matter to God, nor who will not be going somewhere. So I just got to say to you, as you go your way this summer to your vacations, as you're out with your neighbors and friends cooking out, as your kids are at the pool, look at it with a whole new sense of fresh urgency. This is why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed. So be salt, be light. Now remember, we've also said, if you're going to be salt, shake, don't pour. And if you're going to be light, shine, don't glare. But be salt and be light. Last point. I hope that we will have a greater anticipation for Christ's return. It's all through this epilogue. Verse 7, behold, I'm coming soon. Verse 12, behold, I'm coming soon. Verse 20, yes, I am coming soon. Friends, he's coming. Probably sooner than any of us would dare to dream. He's coming. We will have all of eternity to celebrate our victories. We will have only a short time to win them. I want us to be a church with robes that are washed white. A church where men and women and young people have committed their one and only lives to investing in Jesus Christ's kingdom. Will you be that church with me?
Thank you so much for joining us for the Word for Everyday Disciples with Dave DeSalm. If you'd like to let Pastor Dave know how this message has blessed you, send him an email at dave@davedeselmministries.org. Then join us next time as we look to God's Word for help and hope as we follow Jesus every day.